dealing with a foot injury. Multiple reports out of L.A. say UCLA athletic director Dan Guerrero will retire next year. I'm Dan Beyer. We are...
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930 and 100.3 FM. Overnight, moonlight and starlight. Low near 57. A few clouds creep in Friday. High of 85.
It's Bullseye on the Afternoon with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Ten minutes after 4 o'clock, it's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and on 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch joined alongside my tag team partner, Matt Douglas. A Cleveland Crunch t-shirt taking us back to yesteryear.
Yeah, you're supposed to make people think I'm wearing a suit and tie like our next guest here. I like this. I've called games, actually, for what's now known as the Major Arena Soccer League or whatever they've changed their name, I think, again recently. But, Cleveland Crunch, Cleveland Force, back in the day, they used to win all kinds of championships here in Cleveland.
People often ask if you're wearing a tuxedo because it sounds as if you were buttoned up when you were on the air. Just saying, that's the scuttlebutt on the street.
I was trying to keep people thinking that, but now they know I'm just wearing the T-shirt and jeans today.
You can thank me for that. Yes. Let's welcome in our next guest. A sharp-dressed man, indeed, the superintendent at Columbia, Greg Bancic. Greg, thanks for joining us, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Andy and Matt, for having me this afternoon.
Well, it's all part of our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series. Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing, worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. Well, it's great to have you here in studio, and the folks of Columbia probably are going to be tired of me by tomorrow because I'm on the call tomorrow night at WEOL.com Stream 2 with Coach Tom Evans and Chad Meyer as the Columbia Raiders take to the road to take on the Firelands Falcons. And, you know, there's a lot to discuss. A lot of great things are happening at Columbia. And before we get into all of that, let's stick with the Bancic household. I understand. Congratulations, Oren Arter, for your son.
Absolutely, yes. Connor committed to play baseball on Tuesday at Hiram. So very thankful to Hiram and Coach Brewer, and proud of my son. He works very hard. So both Chris, my wife, and I are really proud of what he's done. So continue to look forward to watching him play at the next level after this year.
That's really cool. I always thought baseball and cross country, I thought were two of the cooler sports in college because you really get to see some of the fine parts of campus and kind of the different looking areas. So that's very cool for your son.
That's awesome.
Congrats, Connor.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. College baseball's played in some pretty frigid conditions.
That's
up
true.
In these parts.
Yeah.
So,
and only you guys would know that because you do the play-by-play, right?
Yeah. Well, very nice true. Pitch there. Yeah. I like that.
That's,
no pun intended.
That's right.
How'd you not catch that, Bull?
You were on a roll. I didn't want to interrupt you.
No,
I mean,
thank you.
Come on. You were mid-sentence there. I don't want to step on your toes when you're in the middle of a good pun.
I didn't even mean it.
I don't think I'm going to reach your standards. No. You guys are too good together.
I don't know about our standards. It's definitely that guy who throws the puns out there.
Well, you guys are setting a different standard. Boy, this is the first year for the Little Raiders preschool, and it seems like this inaugural year is going very, very well.
Yeah, we're really excited to have our little kiddos back within the walls of our buildings and in our district and on our campus. Previously we sent them to another school because we really couldn't house them in our building. So we have 17 kids within our walls and ready, getting them prepared not only for preschool this year, but also kindergarten the years after that as they move forward. So we're very, very proud of the job that our director, Judy Skozen, and our teacher, Eva Costa, has done. And really look forward to seeing that program build past 17, which I'm expecting it will with all the building and things that are going on in our community.
For sure. And that's one of those things, too, that I think gives kids a familiarity. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Maybe I need to go back to preschool. But for the youngsters, my daughter's in preschool right now, and that's one of the things we enjoy about it is they're getting that understanding for school, and they'll know some of the kids as they kind of move forward in kindergarten and be a little more comfortable for some of those pivotal learning years.
Absolutely. And we have kids that are ages 3 to 5. both typical regular ed students or special needs students. So, you know, they're really helping one another, you know, from the age of 3 to the age of 5, and they're seeing different things and colors and shapes and starting to learn, you know, how to spell their name and write things down. So it's really a fun time when you go in that room and you see, you know, a 3-year-old kid, how smart they really are at the age of 3 is a pretty incredible sight.
It's unbelievable the things they retain, too. She'll tell me what's going on her day, and I'm like, alligators? And then it makes sense when I open her backpack and see the folder and what they've been working in there. It's really unique.
And really important years. And I think the best part of this program is by bringing it back on our campus is that the district is able to save, you know, almost $285,000 over the next 2 years. And that goes back into, you know, into our general fund that allows us to stretch that money further and further and further without requesting additional dollars from our community.
Well, I'm sure something the parents really appreciate, too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, substantial savings, no doubt about that. Transitioning now into the elementary level for you guys, there's a new media center that the kids are really enjoying.
Yeah, so you guys probably know over the past few years, media centers have been like a hub of activity where our kids and other kids from other districts are doing STEAM activities and things like that. So our Columbia Community Foundation, which is a fantastic local nonprofit organization within Columbia Station, decided that they would back us and supported us with dollars to have this project happen at our elementary school. A couple years ago, they did that at our high school. So they've been a great partner of ours. But we're able to, you know, put flexible seating options, modern. It's a more modern learning environment and does a lot more than just, you know, sit at a table and read a book. So there's spaces where the kids can sit on a rug and enjoy a book or enjoy the interactive projector, maybe learn from some other country, some other city across the United States. So it's really a neat thing that Troy Bunner, the principal, and a lot of his Copopa staff have done there in the media center, because it always takes a lot of people to make good changes.
One of the more popular nights that you guys have throughout the course of the year is a community night, and that takes place next month. Tell us about this community night and what makes it so special.
So this is what we call our math night, and without Red Wagon Farms, who obviously is in Columbia Station, and they have delicious produce, by the way, so I'm in a little commercial for them, but I want to thank Red Wagon Farms for having us. But these our parents and kids, and we normally have in upwards of 300 people attend this evening. So these kids get to solve math problems, you know, go through giant corn mazes. Mm-hmm. They get the height and the weight, the circumference of pumpkins, and they can take hay rides. So it's not just all math, but it's fun for the kids, and it's a great evening. And I will tell you, without naming a name, last year we actually had a Cleveland Cavalier basketball player show up for a photo shoot with his wife and son on the night of math night. So it was kind of interesting because the kids were all like, whoa. So it was kind of neat.
Yeah, some a little more exciting. I mean, I'm sure they're excited about the math problems and all, but that's got to be a nice little secondary thing.
He doesn't play for the Cavs. He plays for the Bucks. So maybe some people out there that are listening all can right. figure it out. G-H.
You can narrow it down, I'm sure. Yeah, you can narrow it down, absolutely. It's not a very tough hill to climb.
How about a trivia question, right?
There you go.
Well, let's transition into the Columbia Middle School. I think you picked out a good one for a principal in Bob Magyar, but I'm a little bit biased because I played baseball with Bob growing up. Bob was a sensational athlete. He was a very good baseball player, but Bob was outstanding on the mat.
Bob is a tremendous person. And he's a tremendous leader, and the staff really loves him. I love him. I mean, we've got a great administrative team all the way around, but that guy, I don't know if he drinks coffee or throws sugar, but that guy is 190 miles an hour, 110% of the time.
Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed.
Yeah, no.
He was like that growing up. Yeah.
Nothing. But he is a great administrator.
Yeah, and obviously things are going extraordinarily well. And, you know, one of the things you guys are doing at the middle school level, too, is you're starting to get some of the middle schoolers to start thinking ahead about their futures.
Absolutely. And I think the earlier that you prepare these kids, they have a better idea of what they would like to do as they get into the high school. So what we're doing in a couple weeks is we're sending our eighth grade teachers out to Revere Middle School to learn about an exit interview program they have. And really the goal is to learn how to interview and give them some guidance on determining or deciding what career path they eventually want to get into. And so, you know, I'm really excited about that because our teachers are taking the lead and trying to come up with another program that will help our kids as they move forward.
You guys have some interesting nights coming up at the middle school as well. You already talked about the community night. You have Kosai on wheels, and then what's Jim Basketball Jones doing at the middle school?
So he's going to come do his basketball skills for our kids and get our kids all pumped up and excited, and it's going to really kick off our PBIS program, which we are now doing district-wide, which stands for Positive Behaviors, Interventions, and Supports. And we're really looking forward to Jim Basketball Jones coming up and giving our kids a nice afternoon of some fun or relaxation.
Good stuff. Again, Greg Bancic, the superintendent at Columbia, joining us here on our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series. Well, Columbia High School doing some great things, as always. Seems like there's never a shortage of news. And the education initiative this year is to educate the whole child. How does this apply at the high school?
Well, you know, not only high school, but we know our schools are the hub of our communities. I mean, the people that are around the schools know that what an important role that our schools play. And at the high school, we're really focusing K-12 on the whole child because things are a little different at home now than they used to be when we grew up. You know, basically mom was at home all day, dad worked, and now we're finding the two parents are working hard trying to make ends meet and get by. So we're really trying to implement, you know, that focus on mental and emotional health across the district. And, you know, we've had some great partners in Southwest General, the Columbia Community Foundation, LACADA, several other local organizations that have really reached out to help us help our kids in both individual and small group settings.
You guys have a digital art course. I thought that was pretty fascinating. Hadn't really heard a whole lot about this, but what are you guys doing with this digital art course?
Well, and this is the first time, and so people understand, you know, Columbia, we have 906 kids in our district, you know, roughly about 300, give or take, at each building. We're a very small school system. So it's very hard for us to have a number of kids to get involved in a class, you know, to have a full class to make sure that our, you know, our teacher has 10 or more kids in that class. And we're offering this digital art program as a way that they can take the elements and principles of art and apply them using these, you know, the structure of computer applications and Google Draw, Photoshop, and Illustrator. So, you know, a lot of kids are starting to go into this when they get to college, and we're trying to prepare our kids each year. We're trying to figure out more and more ways to get our kids motivated and get them a path, whether it's college or whether it's to the workforce.
Sure, it never hurts. I mean, knowing those programs as well, I know that's not something I touched a lot on, but I probably use Photoshop here at a radio station on a daily basis. So, I mean, it gets kids a little more familiar with those programs as well.
Yeah, Justin Ramsey, our teacher, is phenomenal. He knows all these programs. And, you know, we even have a large digital photo printer. Wow. Like you would see. And, you know, you would go to any of these sports stores where they print T-shirts, or we have that available to our kids along with a print press, and we're going to start getting into that a lot more this year too. So really exciting for our older kids.
Yeah, it's a great skill to have, no question about that. As Matt just mentioned, that could certainly help you out not only to get to college, but certainly when you get out of college as well.
Absolutely.
Homecoming isn't that far away, my friend. Tell us about homecoming week.
You know, this is always a great time at a high school. You know, the kids always love homecoming. They enjoy the game, cheering on the home team, going to the dance the next day. So our homecoming is October 4th versus Oberlin. The King and Queen pregame ceremony starts at 6:30 prior to the game. Then the game starts at 7, and then the next night is the homecoming dance. So, you know, our kids are starting to ramp up. I believe there's some of these homecomings are starting as soon as this weekend.
Yeah. So Oberlin's, you know, I think, kicks off this weekend.
It's really, you know, one of the two really big things that our kids get really excited for is homecoming and prom. And so, you know, I love seeing our kids excited. That's the number one reason why we're around kids, to see them excited and see them do great things. So it'll be fun to see them participate all on that weekend on October 4th.
I remember one of the big things our school used to do was the pitting the classes against each other. That was always a lot of fun. Is that something you guys do?
Absolutely.
Over there?
So we'll do that at our pep assembly on the afternoon of the 4th. And, you know, they'll be out at the stadium doing egg tosses and, and you know, the tug of war and things like that. So they enjoy getting together and doing that as well.
Some of the old traditions. Very, very cool stuff.
Absolutely.
Football coaches only let us participate in so many things because you had the game coming up, but always fun.
One of the other things, if I'm okay to touch base on the high school, which we started last year, was what we call our college career and community day. So this is an entire day where each group, freshmen, sophomore, junior, and seniors, do something totally different. So our freshmen come in and take the PSAT, and then we bring in a speaker for them. Then the sophomores take the ACT. So they take it right in-house in our building. Then they also get to hear a speaker. Then our juniors and seniors, they're going out and doing community service as well as college visits. So this day is not a day to be in the classroom, but a day to make to prepare these kids for the next stage of their life. And, you know, each year we're going to tweak it, but it's a fantastic opportunity for our kids to prepare for the ACT in 9th grade, to take the ACT in 10th grade, and then do community service, which we now require 20 hours of community service for every one of our students that graduate. It's an hour requirement. And it's a phenomenal program, and our kids do really well helping in the community.
That's a great idea. I mean, you never prepare someone enough for college, and especially for those tests, ACTs. ACTs, SATs, always important.
Absolutely.
Well, and it's always a wonderful opportunity to learn, to get out there and do some community service. It can be a life-changing experience, no question about that. Before we let you go, my friend, I know you wanted to talk about a couple of issues that will be on the ballot coming up here, Issue 10 and Issue 11, if you can elaborate on these just a little bit.
Sure. So Issue 10 is a substitute issue, which we have on the November 5th ballot. And basically what it is, it's a substitute levy. It's going to substitute. It's not a tax increase. It's no additional taxes. And it combines two of our existing emergency levies. So right now, all the building, and let me tell you, over the next 10 to 15 years, we're expecting over 1,000 homes to be built in Columbia. So the building, it's going to be a very, very different place here in the next 10 or so years. So we're able to get the revenue on top of those new homes, which we can't now because those emergency levies, you know, there's only so much money we can bring in. So by getting the substitute, it allows us to get that revenue for those new homes, and it will not cost any of our current homeowners any additional money, and it will take our bottom line where we won't have to ask our community members to pass a levy if these houses continue, the economy stays the way, and the state doesn't come a cutting till at least 2028 without any additional new money. And that will be at least 15 years from the last time that we asked for additional funds. So we're trying to do everything as a district to make a plan that makes it as easy as possible, because we all know that anytime you take money out of your pockets is a tough thing.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. And Issue 11, I know you wanted to hit on very briefly here as well.
Yes, it's a renewal permanent improvement levy, and that's where we're able to beautify our buildings and fix things on our building and grounds and technology and things like that are important to not only the academic setting, but making sure that our buildings are painted and the lights work and the plumbing works and, you know, things like that. So two very important issues, 10 and 11, and no additional taxes across the board.
Good stuff. Well, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. We love having you here in studio. And it should be mentioned that no matter how it comes across to your ears, wherever you might be out there tuning in today, only one of the three of us is dressed in a suit and tie. A sharp-dressed man you are, Mr. Bancic. ZZ Top will be proud.
Thank you, sir, and I appreciate Matt and Andy for you guys having me. And it's always great to be on the radio and support our schools. And you guys do a great job, not only with this Champs in Education, but also with your coverage for all of our sports teams. So we greatly appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. We always enjoy it.
Absolutely. We most definitely do. Greg, appreciate it as always. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Greg Bancic, the superintendent at Columbia, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon on our Nordson Corporation Champions of Education series, brought to you by Nordson Corporation, a vital, self-renewing worldwide organization helping build products the world uses every day. Coming up next, This Day in Indians History, Your Money Now, and then Matt will give us an update on the local news here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.
Hi, this is Jim Rosenhaus with This Date in Cleveland Indians History, and we take you back to this date, September the 19th, 1946. The Indians recorded their last win at Old League Park, a